You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Hurling Show. I'm delighted to say I'm going to be joined in a little while by the 10-point man from Kildare, Gerry Keegan. But first of all, before next weekend, we're going to look up. I'm delighted we have James in studio again. James Ryle, Kilkenny man, welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you getting on?
Very well.
Yeah.
All good.
All good. Okay. And Derek Honan is coming in from the south of the County Clare. Oh, possibly actually in Limerick. Is the office in Limerick, Derek? Is that where you are?
Yeah, hi lads. Yeah, I'm behind enemy lines at the moment, so I'm on my office there in O'Connell Street in Limerick. So,
you're doubling up there. There's a recon going on as well, I'd say, is there?
There is. Excitement is building here now this week. Huge week for us.
Yeah. What's it like in Clare at the moment? Like, is it wild or is it?
Yeah, there's huge anticipation. Like the last two group games, being at home, I suppose, and having good results in both games, built a bit of momentum. And you know, the crowds are definitely getting in behind Clare now. And Ennis was hopping the last two Sundays. So I think there's a good, a really good mood around the county, and everyone's looking forward to it. You know.
I don't know what way it is in Kilkenny. It's very mixed. Like there's always the anticipation from outside that Kilkenny are going to always deliver something, particularly in a final. But I can't imagine the county is on fire with how they're going at the same time.
No, not probably with performances. There's a lot of concern, and even just regarding what team, and do we have a settled team, and I suppose Galway, they're not, you know, they're rivals, but they're not next door rivals. And I know we have a couple of guys up there, Henry and Richie O'Neill, up there training them, and that probably brings a different element. But we're probably slower to get going. It could be Saturday morning before the real penny drops that there's a big game. But no, I think there's good anticipation for it for the whole shebang.
Is that what's needed for the Galway? Like, I always felt Galway were a little bit of a bogey team for you. Like, they're physically always well able for you, where other teams maybe weren't. You know, Kilkenny, I always felt there was a skill. You'd always expect a level of skill that was far and away often above other teams. But I came out of Kilkenny games sore than any other game. Every time, like, there was a physicality, even when you didn't have the ball, when you were tackling somebody, it felt like you were getting tackled. You know, there was this ability to be physical all the time. Now you've got Shefflin up there and Richie, and is that going to be on Brian Cody's, like, is there a score? Like, does he reduce it to that, or is it, as he always says, like, it's about our team, it's about what we do, we're not thinking about those things. Is that a legit way of looking at it?
Yeah, well, every team will say that it's all about getting ourselves right for the day, and you know, that's the usual rhetoric. But look, there is an element there, and there was the last day, and the media will blow it up, and but it should favour Kilkenny in the sense, I think, of everyone trying to get up for it. I just think, you know, there's a couple of guys up there, we'll say, as I said, Richie and Henry, and they're both heavily involved in the club in Kilkenny. So it's not as if they've, you know, they're around during the week. They've young lads going to the underage games, and, you know, Richie O'Neill is involved in our club, and I'd see him there at under nine games. And anytime I'm talking to him, it's under nine hurling we're talking. And I wouldn't dare ask him about the Galway, and I don't think he'd tell me either. And, Henry has kids playing below at Ballyhale. So it's not that they're removed, they're solely in the middle of it all. So, you know, you'll have Kilkenny guys saying best of luck to them on this week coming up to it, but they'll still be hoping that, you know, we can get one over. But I think for that reason, and it's no disrespect to the two boys up there, but I think for that reason, you know, everyone wants to probably beat Galway that little bit more, even, you know, that has that little bit of a factor there. And I think that should help. But that factor was there the last time too, and it didn't happen. And so, no, it's all to play for.
Yeah, I suppose there's more to play in this one. I got a little bit of stick last week for not zoning in on Clare an awful lot more than we did. So it's good to have you with us this week, Derek, definitely. The thing that stands out before we get into... the Clare Limerick game, I felt you put me straight on Waterford very early. I'd say maybe you didn't even anticipate the fall, but they weren't hyped up to be what everybody thought they were going to be only 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. I suppose the demise of Waterford over the past 6 weeks, because to be fair, like, they were the form team through the league and they showed really well in the league semi-final and the final. But my reservation at the time was just whether they could maintain that level of performance. You know, it was quite clearly they had peaked at that stage of the season, and I kind of felt, yeah, you know, they're flying it at the moment and everyone's talking them up, but I think they'll be very beatable in 5-6 weeks' time. And I didn't think they'd be, you know, as beatable as they turned out to be, because it really was a walk in the park for Clare in the last group game. I haven't seen, you know, Waterford ever being anywhere near as bad as that.
So was there a timing issue? Would you leave that? Would you leave it at Cahill's door? Like, was it a timing issue that they, in terms of preparation?
Yeah, I think that was definitely part of it. It didn't seem like there was probably more issues than that, you know, because they were so far off it. You know, there was more than just that going on.
Yeah.
They kind of had a look of, they had a look of a team that was like, they were playing a pre-season tournament. That's the stage they were at, as opposed to being at the peak of championship against Clare. Like, they, you know, even the team selection was a bit disheveled, where Ozzie Gleeson had been playing further up the park. All of a sudden he was back in the half-back line. And Stephen Bennett, who had been their best forward all year, was left on the bench. And, you know, it just didn't strike me as a well-organised team or this well-oiled unit that they did look like in the league.
Is there, you have any concerns? I know you have the Limerick game to obviously to fall back on, but you leave six players off. It's champagne stuff. Like, you're destroying Waterford. You're getting much more game time for many more players. And you know, things are lifting more and more, like, kind of inescapably so. Like, it's like, it's hard to know when it's going to stop. Is there a danger getting carried away in that for Clare, or is this just the momentum that's been built up?
I think there was, you know, there was huge positives coming out of it. You have to, like, I suppose we've touched on Waterford there, but you have to realise how bad they were and factor that into Clare's performance against them. I would say overall the game and the group has been hugely positive and Clare in a great position. But the problem now is you're coming up against a team that, you know, you just, they've been at the top of their game for the last 4 years. They're a standard bearer in the country, and you can't let your standards drop in any sense of the game if you want to compete with them. And where I would see a bit of concern after the Waterford game was, you know, despite Waterford being so poor, they still managed to rack up 222, which is a huge score. And Desi Hutchinson was able to score, I don't know, the 1-6 or 1-7 from play he finished with. So there was a slight casualness to the defending, you know, I thought of the Clare backs the last day. And I suppose you could say you could forgive them for that because they're already through into the Munster final. But at the same time, you cannot let your standards drop even for a second against this Limerick team because they're so good.
So is it kind of straight into the pressure of it? Does that take that out in a way? Like, because you know that it's the Limerick team that they're dealing with. Like, it's like the demand from Clare supporters, the demand from the players themselves, and the demand certainly from Brian Lohan will be nothing short of 100%. And you know, when there's a possibility of going out like in a game against Waterford, you've got a chance to kind of perform and you get to revel a little bit in your own capabilities. Whereas with Limerick, it's like it's going to be 100%, an absolute dogfight. Everybody has to be on the line, and so you kind of, it shifts your focus very quickly anyway. Like, Limerick kind of demand that, don't they?
Yeah, well, the physicality that Limerick bring, it just brings you into a different place in your mentally straight away, because you're no longer, you know, in your comfort zone. You're straight away at the start of the game, you're pushed out of your comfort zone, and the intensity that they play with, you know, Clare and Limerick had a great game a few weeks back, and the intensity was just through the roof. But you could see at times some of the Clare lads were lagging a bit more than Limerick in terms of physicality.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's as a result of, like, Clare haven't played at that level of intensity for a few years, whereas Limerick are used to it. And you'd be hoping from a Clare point of view that with that under the belt now, that they would be able to, you know, maintain it a bit longer or throughout the game, you know, for the Munster final, because anything less won't be good enough.
So what do you see them having to do? Like, how, like, what worked for them against Limerick the last day, and how do they improve on that?
Yeah, well, I think you have to bring that. You have to match that physicality, first of all. You have to match that. Don Logie used to always say that as well about Cork. You know, you have to physically match your opponents, and then you have to win the hurling after that. So that is the main thing that they have to do, is match that intensity. You know, the last game in Ennis, there wasn't a whole pile of inside forward play, I would have said. The Clare full back line did very well. And the Limerick full back line also did very well. You know, Clare, Limerick with the addition of Galan is going to give them, you know, another dimension to their attack. Clare today against Limerick, you would have thought Peter Duggan and Shane O'Donnell were a little bit subdued.
Yep.
But since then, against Waterford, they put in a huge performance. And if they can bring, you know, their A game, that they're going to have to bring their A game to match what Galan brings back. And, you know, to get over the line, they're going to have to put in big performances.
Are James, do you think that Clare are too dependent on Tony Kelly for a big win like this? Or does that only come from him being the finisher? And in actual fact, everyone's performing to get him, you know, they're doing the right thing in getting him on the ball. Like, or is it an over-dependency?
I don't think, not with the last day's performance anyway, the way Clare performed. You know, he's an unbelievable talent. And when you have a guy as good as him, you'll tend to play the ball through him more and more and more. And we spoke before about, you know, do you put a man marker on it? I think that's the choice where Limerick might have to think. But he's such a man, he can start left corner forward, wheel out to left wing forward, right wing forward, give a spell midfield. And, you know, you can't send a corner back after him in every single place he goes. So there has to be a bit of thinking on that side of it.
Yeah. And, I think is there an opportunity there with the likes of, like, we'll say, Adirma Burns, like, instead of wondering about who picks up Tony Kelly, that you send Tony Kelly out onto Adirma Burns, because then Adirma Burns has to become a defender and isn't knocking over 6 or 7 points necessarily because he's so busy with Tony Kelly, and he's going to get, you know, between 4 and 7 points probably anyway, because that just seems to be what he does. Like, is that an option for them?
It is. And if you just take Burns, I think a lot of his points are the same point he gets, that it's, there's a kind of a melee or a huddle in the middle of the field, and that he's just waiting on the wings, and it's thrown out to him, and he stands in, and it's just arrow like over the bar. But, you know, he doesn't seem to be that focused on an opposing wing forward at that stage when he's playing that type of a game. And I suppose they're hoping they'll win the rucks. But
he'd have to be then, wouldn't he? If he was on Tony Kelly, he'd have to be. He can't afford to stand out in the same way.
I think that's why up until this year, you know, I would have said it earlier this year that I thought Limerick had the measure of every Munster team down there. You know, and I've said it, I could see Cork beating anyone with the way they play. I've always said that, but I cannot see him beating Limerick. They might have changed their play up a small bit. But if you look at Clare, I think it was noticed, and I know Derek said there about the inside forward line mightn't have, you know, performed as well as he would have liked. But I think they said it even on the Sunday game that Clare are playing three inside forwards, and they kind of, it was amazing to have to even say that in a commentary. Do you know that? kind of like, wow, but 13, 14, 15. But that team that will make them keep him honest, I suppose. I think that's the best opportunity you have. Make the Limerick defenders mark their attackers. And I think Clare have a good mix at the moment, and it's going to be an interesting one.
It's an interesting one with Tony. Like, that allegation, I suppose, is levelled at Clare a bit, where Clare are a one-man team. But, you know, I think they probably proved that they weren't against Waterford. But what happens with Tony is, you know, the Clare lads are smart. They realise how good he is. When he's in that sort of form, they'll start sacrificing their own game, you know, to get him on the ball.
Yeah,
And it can look as though then it's a one-man team, but I think it's just more. I think it's intelligence from the Clare forwards in a lot of cases where they'll take a step back and become a facilitator as opposed to a finisher.
Yeah, it's probably a lazy place to arrive at, really, isn't it? You see on the score line, you look down through the team sheet, you see 15 points from one fella, and you're like, okay, this fella's just dragging them along. But it's the way that they're all handling themselves, you wouldn't say there's any of them lacking in terms of their contribution. No. Like, you know, he's not carrying people. He's finishing very well. Like,
if he's running alongside you and you have the ball,
give
it to Tony to put it over, why not? He's just an unbelievable talent to put himself into a position to get the strike.
He was outrageous against Limerick.
He tends to play well against Limerick, I think. And you've touched on it there. Limerick kind of rely on their structure and their system to defend, and they don't really come out of that, where like they'll rely on their half back line to come back and cover for the half backs. They rely on the half back line then to close off space, and they don't tend to sacrifice the player to man mark, you know. Whereas when Clare played Tipperary, Seamus Kennedy actually did a very good job of sacrificing his own game just to keep Tony off the ball, and Cork took up the same approach. So tends to suit Tony to play against Limerick, because they don't seem to do that. And I wonder, will they change tactics this weekend? It'll be interesting to see.
I suppose there might be an underlying opportunity, but the sense that people have is Gerard McInerney or Gerard Hegarty is unfairly maybe treated by referees, and he has a name for being unfairly treated. And I'm wondering, is there an opportunity there for Clare? Is there mistreatment, I suppose, first of all? And the second thing is that then an opportunity where you feel, well, maybe actually if we get under this fella's skin enough, he compromises himself easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the narrative that Limerick are trying to put out there. You know, they were quite strong on that after the Clare-Limerick game, that they're very much sinned against and poor old Limerick. But it's not one that I'd be buying, you know, at all. I think over the last few years, I would say they've gotten away with an awful lot more than what they've been called on, you know. And you could say that the red card above an Ennis, you know, it was kind of a borderline call. In my eyes, I don't know why he was swinging the hurley in. The play was over a few seconds, and I wouldn't think it was an outrageous call. If I compare it to the red card that Ian Galvin got, for instance, for Clare against Cork and didn't manage to get rescinded, I think Ian Galvin's case was far more clear-cut, where it wasn't actually a red card at all. So, you know, and we can all go on with the four-by act and say that we're very much sinned against, but I don't think it's the case at all for Limerick. And you definitely saw them trying to put that narrative out on the Sunday game as well. Shane Dowling had his clips picked out of Gerard Hegarty, who was being pulled to the ground. But sure, you had that going on all over the field on both sides, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. Like, there is that element of, and sometimes you hear it in relation to Ozzie as well. And it was easy to compare the two because both of them were sent off for two sets of two yellows. But they do, yeah, it's the Balotelli, isn't it? It's like, why always me? And it's like, well, why is it always you? Like, you know, why, like, how come Tony Kelly isn't always in there, or why aren't the great players in these situations? Like, and I don't know, is it holding Gerard Hegarty back from something, or is it actually is one of his great strengths, like the fact that he is so on the edge?
Yeah, I think it probably is holding him back. Like, you know, he didn't gain anything by doing that swing. You know, the play was over, Clare got the free. The Clare lad's not going to be intimidated by it if he wasn't called leader, like, so he's not gaining anything. I think if it was an element he was able to cut out of his game, it would improve him. You know, he's one of the top, I would say he's probably one of the top, off the top of my head, three or five players in the country anyway. That, I think, does hold him back a bit, yeah.
Yeah. James, what's your sense of that? Is he open at the weekend? Like, has he left himself open at the weekend? Is there will referees respond to that, like, and almost protect him more now because John Kiely's come out and said
I'm not sure they'll protect him. I suppose I have a feeling, I've always said this, that there has to be cop on, I suppose, and that's a very hard thing to put in a rule book when you're, you know, a general cop on, and that,
yeah
like, if a guy is booked, and in my view, it's not a terrible, you know, it's not a borderline raid. It's just a booking that had to be done. There's, you know, you should know if you open the book and have a little tick beside him and say that, you know, it wasn't too bad or mild or some little thing that, you know, there's nothing wrong with going to a guy and saying, look, that was borderline yellow card. If it was your first, it would be a yellow card. I don't think the combination of the two incidents is enough to justify you being off the field. Yeah. But, you know, one more and you're getting a raid. So you take Gallan's pull the day he got the yellow card.
Yeah.
That was borderline red card in my view. And when I looked at it first at home, I just sat forward and I went, oh my, you know, real time I thought that was a bad pull. But if he'd done another incident just after that was mild enough, you'd have to say he does warrant another yellow to get the line, you know. It's the combination, I think, that they get wrong a lot of the time. So a guy can be pulled in the first 5 minutes of a game for maybe just an awkward challenge, and if he does that a second time in a game and it's a red card and he's put off, I think that's very harsh. But having said that, on Hegarty, every time, if it's always me, it's why me, you sometimes have to look at yourself and say, hey, hold on here now, can I change my game some little bit? And even that pull that day against one of the Clare, I was only happened to be talking to a guy at the weekend and he just said to me that your man had his hurl in, that he kind of struck the hurl, but, you know, if he didn't have his hurl there, like, you know what I mean? He shouldn't be nearly rewarded for not having,
for
self-defense. If you put your hand up and you block your face and, you know, somebody punches your hand, but if your hand wasn't there, the punch was still done or so was the strike. So, you know, he's got to be careful,
Are there, at the back, coming, building from the back, what do you see? Like, how concerned are Limerick going to be in terms of, like, how are they going to set up for Clare? Like, what... they're going for a four in a row. Like, do they have sights further afield, or is it still?
They'll want to go the most direct route anyway. That's, you know, in a few of both the Munster and the Leinster games, there's a small bit of shadow boxing, especially if a team had qualified and leaving off this. But there's both teams will be absolutely gung ho for this, and both will want to win, and Limerick will want to keep up this as well. So setting up, but. You know, we talk about the process, and I spoke before about the process. I think they'll stay doing their same thing. And, you know, of course, Tony Kelly and the likes might come in for some special treatment in some ways, and he might be singled out before the game of how to do this and who to do this and what way to market and how to cut out his space. But I don't think Limerick are going to change their game overly. And, you know, they'll put more focus on getting the ball into Galan and getting their big names on the ball and trying to get scores that way. But I don't think you'll see them changing a whole lot, which could be great for Clare if Clare turn up and start motoring.
Well, that's it. Is there an opportunity in that for Clare if they do, Dara?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is going... I don't see them changing things drastically. I don't think they will. The one thing they might do is put a man marker on Tony, and they might take Barry Nash, I would say, would be the most likely person to take up that role. I think, you know, structurally, Kyle Hayes on the inside line, I wouldn't be a fan of that. He's extremely dangerous in there because he's an excellent player. But, you know, I think you could get an awful lot more out of him in the middle third. And particularly, if I was picking it, I'd put him at centre forward, because I think if he gets the ball 60, 70 yards out from goal, you know, and there's any bit of space, you nearly have a goal chance with his running ability. In terms of how they'd approach it overall, they'll be absolutely 100% looking to win, and both teams will. It's a lot easier for Limerick to, you know, Limerick are the dominant side over the last few years, and if they're, you know, you don't want to show any chink in that armor, and if you can remain unbeaten, it's a psychological blow to the challengers who are putting in, you know, titanic efforts to get over the line against you, and if they can't do it, you know, it starts to wear down on your confidence. So they'll be trying to keep Clare down, same as they're trying to keep any other team down, you know, when they're playing them.
Yeah. Before we move on to Leinster, I don't know. Did you play in a Munster final? Was it 10? Did you miss out? 12?
No.
17 was then the last one before that, was it? Maybe you were gone that year, was it?
Yeah, I think 18 was our last time.
Or 18.
I was finished in 16. So
okay. Obviously the All Ireland. What's the week like for the players now? Like, how do you manage that expectation that's built?
Yeah, well, they'll have trained hard last week, they probably would have recovered initially and trained, I suppose, Thursday, and the weekend would have been hard sessions. They probably would have had a bit of an in-house game, and it'd be kind of wind down then at this week, and make sure you're coming in with a clean bill of health, and that that everyone is feeling sharp and full of energy.
Yeah. Is it? There's no danger of it going to their head. Like, it's there. They'll just be head down and focused.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so at all. A lot of those players have won, you know, All Irelands. A lot of them have won under 21, seniors, minors, the new lads that are coming in. You know, it won't be the same as Turles with 50,000, but the atmosphere in Ennis for the Limerick game was electric. You know, and there was huge pressure on that, and they rose to the occasion. So. I don't see anyone being overawed by it. I think they'll relish in it. And Dermot Burns had a good quote that, you know, he was saying they're not out training all year to be playing in front of small crowds. Like, these are the games that they really relish and that they look to put in a performance for. And I think it'll be the same on both sides. I don't see anyone being overawed by the occasion.
Yeah, it's going to be a sellout anyway, that's for sure. Limerick and Clare are coming in with savage momentum. Galway are probably coming in with momentum in terms of two finals. It's probably Kilkenny with the least. Is that, you know, sometimes on the back of a defeat you learn a huge amount and it kicks you on another couple of steps, but then momentum brings you in and you kind of know what you've got. Like, how do those things marry up when with Galway and Kilkenny?
Yeah, like, we'll say out of the four teams in the provincials, you would say Kilkenny are the one that possibly, you know, you might say, who would you replace them with if they weren't in it as regards the performance? Do you know, like, I know obviously Cork can't be in a Leinster final, but there are probably the other team who got together in the last couple of games.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, are you looking at the four best teams at the moment? You know, Kilkenny is the one you'd say, I don't know. Are you looking at the team that's up there? But still, you know, there was a point in the Galway game in Pier Stadium, you know, a goal mouth scramble, and, you know, Wexford were nearly, you know, they brought that nearly to a draw. So without being overly brilliant, they're still competitive. And, you know, that'll stand to them a lot. But, you know, I said before that I don't know that enough four or five of their team that are absolutely guaranteed. And that's something I don't like, because there's a bit of a nervousness around that. If you're a player yourself and you're in this week and you're not 100% sure are you going to be lining out next weekend, that's a, you know...
Is there a limitation on the amount of players you can have in that in some senses? You know, like, for some people it's good. Who was it? Fergal Hegarty. Was Fergal Hegarty down to start in 95? And then Gilly was told maybe half an hour before the game that he was going to start. And the idea was that, like, if he'd have been thinking about it all week, sure, he was only a young fella and it might have upset him altogether. And I think Fergal Hegarty took the fall on that one. But you can have that for maybe a few players, that, like, uncertainty coming in. Some players can live with uncertainty, but if you have too much of it, I don't know.
Personally, I'd rather know, you know, of the week of it that you're playing and getting your... I know you always have your head right, but it's easier to get your head right if you're looking at a position, thinking of a player, thinking of a part of the field where you're playing in. Do you know, you'll all maybe go to bed dreaming of doing this and doing that and what's going to happen. But, you know... If that uncertainty is there, you know, then if you start a player, he could be looking over his shoulder here, you know, if things aren't going right, he's wondering, is he the person going to get the curly finger? So, you know, I'd be more concerned than unconcerned that, you know, it's a bit of an issue that we probably don't rightly know. And everyone is getting a lot of game time, but, you know, there's not a nailed on 12 or 13 people. We're not dead set on our midfield pair, and you know, we're not dead set on a lot of things, and that's a bit of a worry. And we changed the Galway game. Kilkenny played in Pier Stadium a very short game, and before half time lost their way a bit, and they just changed around in, you know. And I'd imagine Cody came into the dressing room the following week and just said, long ball, lads, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then against Wexford, it was nearly a comedy of long balls. In the end, there was no change up, so there has to be a bit of a balance there. There's two
things there. The first thing is Padraig Welch. I mean, I don't know, is he carrying a knock? If he come on for a few minutes, maybe that's all that was in him. I don't know. The second thing is, I suppose, does that expose a weakness in that modern teams are, I suppose, celebrated most, the successful teams are celebrated for their ability to think and change on the field, that the team is a thinking team, and that there's a leadership that develops that... gives them more power on the field to respond to what's actually happening, as opposed to this is what our tactics are and this is what we're sticking to. It was clearly wasn't working against Wexford. I mean, like, but they still kept doing it. Is that the Cody fear factor, or is it a limitation of the players on the field? Is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a limitation. Like, if you take Richie Reid, who's centre back, and he's a delightful hurler. But I suppose when he's playing with Ballyhale, a lot of his play is just route one. But you have a club team with Colin Fennelly, TJ Reid, and Adrian Mullen, you know, 3 6-foot something guys. It doesn't matter who they're on, really. You know, if they don't win it direct, they'll win a break and break. But, you know, it's not that they're disobeying orders. They're playing away because that's the way Kilkenny want them to play.
Yeah.
But if
you set down one week, if Cody says, okay, like it didn't... tippy-tappy, like you can see him saying, right, that's not working, we're going route one, and then route one isn't working halfway through a game, but there was no real change on it. It kind of just kept feeding into Wexford's hands. Like, is that a limitation exposed? Like,
yeah, it's probably a limitation on the field that, you know, it's ownership needs to be taken by players. But then at the end of the day, if Cody tells you he wants to do this with the ball, you're probably going to try and do it, but you have to have enough, I think, general cop on in the field to say, if this isn't working, We need to up it some way. We need to change it. Can't keep doing the same thing. You know, it's pure insanity, as they say.
Who would take it on in that? Like, I can see someone like Adrian Mullen saying, he seems like a live wire enough fella who's well able to read what's happening, and I don't see him being a kind of, I don't see him being too docile either in the face of a Cody. Like he seems to be a fella who'd might go his own way. Like is it someone like that, or is it TJ who has to lead it? Or
A lot of it is TJ, and you come down to the guys who are there for a while, but you know there's so many changes in as well in the Kilkenny team. It's you know, if you're not on one week and you're in the next week and you're trying to tell everyone else how to do it, you know, a lot of lads are trying to look after their own game. And I think historically in Kilkenny we have had a habit of changing teams up and switching people around, so it's not a brand new thing. And you know, I remember even in the golden years, as we'd call it, there'd be a minimum number of all-stars maybe when years would win, because the team was changed so many times. You know, they looked at, well, sure, if a guy didn't start the Leinster final and he's only played two games, how can he be an all-star? And a lot of those things often came into it. And you know, I always remember going back to the Cork, I know I'm digressing a small bit there, but Cork had a half back line back in our day, shall we say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Was it O'Halpin, Curran and Gardner? Yeah, but it never changed.
No.
That was 5, 6 and 7. And I always said at that time, how can that not change? Are you telling me he is the best number 5 for 8 years on the trot at Championship Hurling? Do you know, it didn't happen. You know, we could have had 6 guys in those 3 different positions over 5 games, but they went 7, 8 years where... Do you know, was that a downfall
they
in their game?
They kind of were, though, the best, weren't they, for a few years anyway.
But like, how do we know? If you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like,
when you change it up and bring Sherlock out, or
surely over a 6 or 7 year period, some of them had a dip somewhere and there was another guy that possibly was that little bit better. But we're coming to the stage now in Kilkenny where we're throwing guys in kind of left, right and centre. And, you know, it's becoming a common thing now where you hear a 15 and then you're, you know, 20 minutes before the game is starting, you're hearing there's 4 changes here, and you know, you're nearly looking at programmes and who's wearing a tracksuit, who's not wearing a tracksuit.
I do be going to Wikipedia sometimes when I look at the Kilkenny panel. I'm like, Jesus, where did that fella come from? Like, Derek, for on the other side of it, Galway, I don't think you've seen too much of them, but in terms of Shefflin going up there, what's your, like, if Clare were preparing for a Galway, and I suppose for Kilkenny in some respects as well. Now, I know as the players' practice line is, we're only focused on Limerick now this week and we're not looking ahead, but if taking on a Galway, like, what are they doing well up there, or where are they dangerous?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Shefflin seems to be doing a really good job up there in O'Neill. You know, they seem to have the team playing a nice brand. They're still bringing that physicality that you touched on earlier about Galway, and I always think, I'd agree with you, I always think Galway do bring a serious physicality, and anytime you even play a Galway club team, you'll be sore after it, you know, for a few days, whereas in Clare, I don't know, I think the refereeing, they allow a bit more, so it's great, you know, it's great that they can bring that physicality. I think they're going well. I fancied them to win the Leinster final. I was a little surprised, James, at the pessimism around Kilkenny. Now, like I said, I fancy Galway to win it, but I don't think there's going to be much between them at all. I would say it'll be a very close game, and even Kilkenny losing by a point the last day up there on a marginal call at the end of the game, there should be nothing between them, and that was an away game, so... it'll make for an interesting contest. It'll give us a clearer picture of where Kilkenny are at. I personally think Kilkenny, I'd have them a little bit ahead of Cork. I know you were saying the opposite, James, but I'd have them a little bit ahead of Cork at the moment. And you know, you could.
Why is that? Is it like it was? I suppose when you look back at Cork, you might say, well, they recovered, but it was against Tip and Waterford, who are both in a degree of free fall. Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Cork are a dangerous opponent for Clare. And, you know, the fact that they've come back from, I suppose, a tough few weeks where, you know, they went through a bit of turmoil and they were challenged. But if they can come back stronger from that, it could be the makings of them. But I still think they have a bit to go before, you know, I could rank them ahead of Kilkenny. I think Kilkenny have shown a lot more in the championship so far. Kilkenny, like the performance Kilkenny gave against Dublin was sensational, you know. They're very dangerous even against Galway. You know, they're a goal threat all the time. Whereas, you know, for that reason, I think I'd rank them slightly ahead. But, you know, like I said, it's going to be an interesting concept. If Kilkenny could get a win, it could launch them. You know, for a semi final, and you could have a serious contender. I think Galway, if they win, I still wouldn't have them as contenders probably for All Ireland. But I do think they'll win. But yeah, I know it's a tough one. It's tough to gauge where they're both at because, you know, the Leinster Championship probably, you know, there's a few games there where you're playing and it's probably not as competitive as Munster. So this game, I suppose, will tell us
oh,
a lot.
Here we go, bye. I mean, the Clare lads are in on it now, bye. It used to be just Cork and Tipperary fellas, but the Clare lads are on us. It's fair enough in some respects. I don't know, is it like the county grounds or I'm not sure, but certainly when I was looking at, like, I mean, the Clare Limerick game obviously was the standout one, but there was other. There's some great games, like, and some of the, like, even the draws, the close games in Leinster, the brand of hurling just didn't quite look up to it. Like, I kind of felt from the start, like, are any team in Munster fearing any of the Leinster teams looking at the championship? Like,
look, the Munster, the venues really brought out the Munster, have always brought out the Munster, because when we were going up playing games in Croke Park and 26,000 in it or 30,000, and, you know, to get lost in it. When I was going up to Pierce Stadium on this, was it a Saturday or Sunday, the bank holiday, I was coming through the square in Turles around 9:15 in the morning, and there was Clare lads standing around with flags on their back, and about 9:15, 9:20, and you can imagine the atmosphere.
And you're on the way home.
I'm on the way up. I'm on the way. This is an evening game, the Sunday night. So there, you know, the Turles and the square and the crowds in around the square, and if you go down to Ennistown as well, Derek said that it was electric down there, and I heard that myself. And whereas you can't build that atmosphere in Croke Park, and I think the new round of championships has done it a small bit with the Wexford Parks and even in Kilkenny, but I did have a look, and I suppose out of the Leinster teams, the six teams in it, I was looking at the combination of games every week where we say, if you take the big four, if you want to call it that, as if we can call it a big four in Leinster of Kilkenny, Galway, Wexford, Dublin, that's six games that created throughout the whole championship. And one of them was a draw. Two more were 1 point in it. There was a 4 point, a 6 point, and then there was Kilkenny 17 point, I suppose, annihilation of Dublin. But five of the games were really competitive. Whereas the amazing thing in the Munster thing, as much as it's built up, there were some serious heavy defeats down there. And, you know, it's but it seems to be glossed over a lot, I think. And if you went back to Dunder, this is my Leinster cap truly on here.
Yeah,
now.
No, that's quite clear. That's very clear.
If I'm not getting that across.
Yeah.
But if I take even the under 20, I remember reading bits and pieces on Twitter. I'm not much of a Twitter man, but I was reading it, and the Leinster final under 20 was... It was, they were talking about the pick of Munster would, or the pick of Leinster wouldn't even come close to it.
Yeah.
And but then when it came to the All Ireland, Kilkenny somehow came out and beat Limerick in it. And I would wonder, if you take this Limerick team now, who are the two or three top teams that most likely can take them down? And that's a question I'd ask, Derek.
I think
Clare won.
And I think Kilkenny would be my third team, second team to take them out. I think Galway would be Kilkenny.
I think Galway could put it up to, I think Galway, you know, Galway are missing Conor Whelan against Kilkenny back there too. They're getting their panel back together, and they play a standard of hurling that will make the Limerick lads mark them again, and some of these Coonies and whatnot, and Conor Whelan, strength and directness, and that's what could trouble them.
And even like James, I suppose you're not far wrong, because like Kilkenny beat Limerick in the semi final in 19, and Galway were very close to beating them the day Canning got injured. I can't remember what year it was. So they definitely are competitive. I'll come back with you this way. I didn't have my statistics ready for the Munster versus Leinster debate, but. If I was looking at it this way, though, I'd say that Limerick and Clare, as the two Munster finalists, are stronger teams than Galway and Kilkenny.
I'd agree on that.
Yeah, fair enough. There's an anomaly in Munster, in the Munster-Leinster debate as well, in relation to the Joe McDonagh final, which I want to get on to. Two great games coming up at the weekend, really. Like, that's the holy all of it, isn't it? I mean, Kilkenny and Galway, you're just expecting, I think they always serve up a great game of hurling, because they both have that traditional style and they both go for it, and you know that the work rate is going to be, there's no, the minimum is 80, like they never fall below it. And we're all looking forward to Clare and Limerick, particularly after the game in Ennis. I mean, it just lit the place up. Like, it was a joy to watch. Do you know, one of those games where just seeing Tony Kelly doing his thing, and yeah, it was brilliant from start to finish. With the John McDonagh final, so Antrim, Wayne, Leash are relegated and Antrim have their place in Leinster. We have that generosity as well, I suppose you'd have to say, in Leinster, where we extend the generosity of invites to other teams to come up into the up to the top level. But if Kerry win, they have to play Tipperary. How do you? Yeah, I don't know where are Tipperary at. Might be a question in there, Derek.
I think Tipperary have a chance to make history in that game by losing to every other county in Munster in the 1 year, which I don't think has been done before. And I'm sure you'd enjoy that in Kilkenny as we would in Clare and Wexford as well.
But, never even thought of it, to be honest.
No, I think it's probably a little bit harsh on Kerry, whereby, you know, they've to beat. Would it be fair? Would it be better to just bring them up and have 2 6 team divisions? It might be worth chancing, you know, to see. But then again, you might end up and give Kerry every game at home or something like that to bring it on. Tipperary, like, they actually lost to Kerry in the pre-season tournament as well this year. So they won't be able to take it for granted.
No, and there's the case getting back up. And it's one of the things, it's the reason I wanted Jerry Keegan or someone like Jerry to come in and have a chat about that. Is like, what do Kerry want? Like, do they want those hammerings for the first couple of years in order to see the level, or do they want to prepare maybe a little bit more? And is that preparation really kind of, yeah, is it ever going to be enough? Like, do you just have to be up and learn how to live with it? Like, so it does seem to be a little bit harsh on them. They also have, I don't know what way you would have been. I mean, for Kilkenny, well, in your time, which was before the new road, so it might have been a couple of hours, but it's down to an hour and a half now, so it's fine to go up. Wexford were always grand to go up before games, but we would go, if we were going to Galway, we'll say we'd go up the night before. But I think the Kerry lads were talking about the impossibility of getting hotels up in Dublin, and so they're going to travel up on the day. I just came up from Kerry, and I'm glad I'm not playing a hurling match after, you know, it's 5 hours really, like, door to door. It doesn't seem like any kind of preparation for a game of hurling.
Yeah, and it depends on how much travelling you're going to do before you get to the bus on the morning to even set off within Kerry. You know, that could be, I'm not sure.
I mean, a lot of them are coming from the north and so they're coming down into Tralee, I suppose, and they'll probably, I don't know, really take the train up or get a bus from there.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I think Kilkenny travelled up to Galway the night before, because we had a 2 o'clock game, we say this year gone.
Yeah.
I say this is the first time Kilkenny ever travelled. They always did it on the day.
Mm. What was your take on that?
I liked the day, yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked the day. I don't think I'd like to go up the night before. But then again, would I like 3 hours on a bus either?
Terrible road to Galway too.
Probably
isn't it?
Not, you know.
From Kilkenny.
I done it, I think, playing Antrim one time, where we went on a bus the whole way up to play, and I think it was somewhere north Antrim, which was as far as away.
As far as they could bring you.
Yeah, but not a nice thing to do, but it is nice maybe to leave from home. But, you know, if you're travelling that 3 hours on a bus, now look, if planned out well and plenty of breaks and stops and walks around and water and whatnot, but it's still hard to come straight out into an intense game. After the game, it doesn't really matter. It's all about the travelling before.
Yeah.
But I'd certainly like to do it on the day.
Yeah. Man, after the game, they'll probably all stay up for the night. Derek, what way were you with that?
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. I suppose the prices of hotels, first of all, are shocking. But I think Kerry
spend a while on that. But the price of not just hotels, we could spend a while on it. But yeah, it's amazing that that's what's holding them back for sure.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to fly up. That's what I thought I read somewhere.
Okay,
I'd be far more in favour of travelling the day of the match then going, and it used to always annoy me having to share a room in a hotel, and I'd be a light sleeper and you'd be listening to someone snoring, and they'd be looking at the clock going 3-4 and you still haven't gotten any sleep. So I'd prepare all the All Irelands we played in, and that we always used to travel up the day of the match, and it far suited me much better. Now,
yeah, I never knew when to stop talking to the fella who was in the room. You know, like, it'd just be chatting away, and then there was like, what point do we stop? Like, you know, and they kind of lie off there for a while, and he start talking again, and if he can get a bit pissed off at him, like, he'd be, yeah, I don't know. Like,
you'd really have to call it straight.
Yeah,
I'm going to sleep here.
Then it was weird telling a fella you were going to sleep. Like, I never had told anybody else that. I was just like, you know, you just head off and you just go to sleep. Like, so I never had the feeling to tell him. But then that kind of would seem to be like an invite, depending on who you had. Like, you could be sharing with Darren Stamp or someone who wouldn't talk to you anyway. But if you're with somebody who was like chatting away, you'd be like, oh, Jesus, how do we? Yeah.
But I wonder, even does all this talk about Kerry and not getting to come up, does that affect him in preparing for the? Is that a disadvantage to him? Whereas Antrim are, you know, are kind of hiding away there in the long grass, and, you know, it's all about if Kerry win, and you know, that's probably a conversation they don't need to be listening to this week either.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If they did win, and their next, I think they're going playing the Munster.
They'd be playing Cork then, and Wexford would play Antrim.
And didn't there probably be another week of a break? Like, it's a horrible scenario for Tipperary to have maybe a 5 weeks. Do you know, do you train? Do you not train?
Yeah, what
do
are they doing?
If you don't train, you know. So, like, if that goes, if Kerry do win it, it's the thoughts of for a Tipperary team to train away.
Yeah.
Not a nice position to be
in. No, they're in a bit of limbo at the moment. Well, look, there's a huge weekend ahead. Derek, best of luck I know you've got a lot of good friends playing, so the best of luck to Clare. Hope you enjoy your weekend down there, and same to Kilkenny up against Galway. I don't know, are you slightly cheering for Henry in any shape or form? I imagine it's Kilkenny all the way. I'm looking forward to the handshake afterwards. Maybe Brian, he's not going to let his card slip as much again.
But high five this time.
Maybe. I mean, you know, if he's pissed with Henry going up and sharing the secrets of the Kilkenny, the Kilkenny crown, I suppose he's going to have to be equally angry at him this week. Like, so
the secrets of Kilkenny is just win your own ball. It's fairly straightforward.
There's
no big science behind it.
Didn't go so well in Nolan Park last week. I mean, finally in a position where I can actually say it. But thanks very much for your time. We're going to be joined in studio in a few minutes by Mr. Gerry Keegan, so I look forward to that. Now, I'm joined in studio by Mr. Gerry Keegan, Kildare hurler. Don't want to go too much into the personal. You're off the back of an All-Ireland win. You won the Christy Ring against Mayo. I watched the game at home. I was sad to miss it. I definitely wanted to be up there with you for it, I have to say. How are you doing, I suppose, first?
Good, Norman. Yeah, thanks for having us here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was a good week. You know yourself, well, I don't know, do you know, after winning a couple of championships?
Yeah, not. I don't have too much. As we were looking at the picture there before, like, it's like, yeah, they're, I can count them on two fingers, I'd say, really, those kind of weeks. Hey, with the club, like, you get the same, that feeling of relief and an open bit of time to yourself.
Yeah, when I woke up on the Sunday morning, like, you have a late night Saturday night anyway, but you wake up Sunday morning with a smile on your face, so, like, it doesn't matter. You wake up after putting in a good performance, like, and...
Yeah.
Especially for us, like, we don't get the coverage that other people do, so it was nice now to put the performance in.
Where do you stand then on, I mean, there was so much expected of you, and it was a little bit of a no-win situation that if you win, everyone says, you're expected to win, and if you get bet, then, you know, you're the world's worst. But you came along then and scored 10 points, I think maybe 8 in the first half, like... Where does the enjoyment cross over from, okay, we've achieved this as a team, but then you've done it on the big day, like, you've, you know, there's, you're, you answer something, I think, in a like, any questions you'd have of yourself. Now, maybe you don't have them.
Yeah.
But
oh, definitely. I got the week of the match, all week, I was, you'd be worrying about, like, not putting in the performance, or, like, I was.
What would you be? What, yeah. So what's going on? I'm not fit, or I'm not this, or what? Yeah. What are your?
It was relief after the game when they put it. Like, all year I hadn't shot the lights out in any game, really, like. So, like, and to be honest, I didn't go out to play. Look, this year I liked trying to get the hand passes off, or, you know, like I wasn't going out to score. And just Croke Park, it's like a different game playing in Croke Park compared to what we play in Newbridge. Like Newbridge is, I think Newbridge is the smallest county grounds.
Football pitch.
It's I think in the country.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make space in there, like, and it's just not there. And then Croke Park.
So you're saying you're at home. And you're at home in Croke Park. Oh, and
like,
yeah. God,
like Newbridge. There's no space to be had for forwards. It's a backs game in Newbridge, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Croker, and just the space was madness. Like, and I was only my third time playing there now, but yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
What's it like for you playing in Croker? Like, I don't know, I still, when I come up to Dublin and I see Croke Park, like, I still, there's still something excites me when I see, like, the place. Even,
yeah, when you're in it, when we walk down to the pitch beforehand, yeah, like, just looking up and. It's great, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And how are you dealing with that? Like, you're like, right, I'm going to take it in for a minute. You know, some people say that, like, you know, block all that stuff out. They're only the sheds the same as anywhere else or whatever. But it's not. Like, you're in this absolute coliseum. Yeah, like, yeah. It's like you take it in for a minute and then let it go. What you do?
I wouldn't really think about it too much now, to be honest. Yeah.
Would you not?
No. To be honest, I wouldn't. Like, I didn't let it get to me now. Probably be a different story if there was 80,000 people out there now.
Yeah.
Fans out on everyone. But no, I didn't really let that get to me or nothing like that, you know.
What was the game like? What do you like?
We set
a game at 10 points, man. A game where you score 10 points and play, like, you're orchestrating so much in that. Like, there was no time as well where I'd said, like, you know, you should have passed the ball off, or you were within your rights every time. You took the right option every time for your scores. Yeah. You were just on the ball in the right place.
Yeah, I didn't do anything spectacular or nothing like that. It was just like we were. Dively, there was a few lads, like Dively was setting in great ball into the full forward line. I was just able to time my runs. The lads were winning ball first time as well, and when that happens,
it
depends on that. It makes it so much easier because, you know, right, he's going to win the ball, bang, the run is made. You're running at pace at that stage, like, so.
Yeah.
But I was running about the place. I was enjoying it. Now I was looking around. I remember after a couple of points, and you settled in. I was like, oh, lovely.
This is great.
I was just it was sick, and we had a goal chance there. And Jesus, all I had to do was hit the target.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up. where, like, in terms of the reaction to it, then I suppose what I really wonder is about where your place is, or where you see your place is in what I would call the GA, or more specifically the hurling family. Like, where do you, everybody accepts, I would say, that you're John McDonagh standard. Mm. But then when you achieve what you achieve and you play a game like that, and there is, you know, there's recognition, you're on team of the week, and you're certainly front and centre. Is there enough acknowledgement of what's happening in the Christy Ring, or do you feel that gets too much lip service and is not really valued?
Well, the John McDonagh's been great.
Yeah.
Like, the Christy Ring is the level it's at, like, so... It's hard to get people to watch it if the standard's not up to that. Like, it's not.
So you're not surprised?
I'm not surprised, no. But Joe McDonagh has been great. Like,
yeah.
The standard of that, I think that's not getting enough recognition, definitely, because there were some games there that you'd see, you know, mentioning Buff Egan, you'd be watching his Snapchats. And
that's where you see.
Yeah, that's where you see the games, like, yeah. Especially, like, even the National League, the 2A, like, you don't get any, like, on the Sunday game or nothing like that. You wouldn't see it at all, like, you know.
Yeah,
but Jesus, it's great. I can't wait to go up and play it now, to be honest. Yeah. And I'm not like,
where are you at for last year, Joe McDonagh?
Like, last year, like, we were playing 2B, and then going and trying to, like, up the standard up to that level. Like, so I was kind of thinking to myself last year, I was like, it's going to be a hard Joe McDonagh now to go up that level from going from 2B, then play the teams this year. Now, like, we were unlucky in the league this year, like, we just about stayed up, but, like,
yeah.
We drew with Carlo, where we hit 10 frees wide that day. Kerry, we were a point up in the 69th minute. We managed to lose by 7. Like, Down and Kerry.
It's almost impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went up to Down, who hadn't been beaten up in Ballycran in a couple of years, and we bet them. And then we bet, or we were without the Nace boys for the Meath game.
Yeah.
So, like, couple of results there, and we could have been talking about a final, like, you know.
Yeah,
we played Westmead, and we were. I got myself sent off in that. We made a big. We were doing well up until that point, like.
Yeah.
And you see them; they're staying up in Leinster this year, like, and we wouldn't be afraid of. Like, we would go out against Westmead. We'd be hoping to win that game, like, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be thinking during the week of. We'd have the hope here, like, we'd be going out to win that game.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the standard we're at, like.
That's the standard you're at. So you feel Joe McDonagh is definitely this is where you're at.
like the goal next year is to stay up in it. Like you have to be realistic as well. But like, there's still, if we get a few runs, we could get to a final, John McDonald next year. Like, you know.
So what do you see anything that, like, what would benefit Kildare? I suppose there's a short term, like you're 28 now and you're in your prime, and you're looking to get the most out of, because from here from here on out, like you know the jets don't fire as well, but you get smarter and you're that kind of more intelligent part of your career, we'll say. What support do Kildare need to get to the standard to we'll say to be thinking about Liam McCarthy? Like, I know that's a huge structural question, but is there any simple things that you're looking at all the time thinking, but that's what, if we had just had a bit more of that, I feel like all levels would rise.
But like, it's this yo-yo thing that ruins it. Like, you know, if you win the Christie ring, you go up, and then we're back down last year. It just, like, when players see you're going back down to the Christie ring, you might miss out on two or three players that wouldn't play. Like, and in a county like us, we can't afford to be missing anyone, really. Like, you know, you need 25 the top lads to be driving training on. But like, for us, we just, like, it's pivotal that we just stay up at Joe McDonald. We're playing game. You have to be playing at the standard. Like, standards drive standards. So if you're playing better teams the whole time, it's going to improve you. Like,
Like
I heard you saying there before about, do teams want to go up and get hammerings? Like, but
look, that'd be the question I'd have, I suppose. Like, you know, say you're going to say skip the Joe McDonald, you feel like you could beat Westmeath. So say we stick you up into Leinster. Like, is that? It is, you know, you think about it, I suppose, Italy in the rugby or something like that, the Six Nations, you know, they were going nowhere for a long time, and all of a sudden they start winning a couple of games because you're training for the standard. One of the things I noticed when we were on the weekend that we went on, Witchie was chatting to Cahill and a couple of fellas, there seems to be there's the possibility of a big turnover, that, you know, you four or five fellas might leave if we'll say, if you go down or, whereas... I'd say nobody would leave if you were looking to Liam McCarthy. Like, you know, training would be different. It starts earlier in the year, and the commitment is completely different, I would imagine. Or else is it like, well, we're going up to get hammered here? What would you prefer? Like,
I would prefer, but see, if you go up to Leinster and then you're just playing Leinster, maybe if you have the opportunity, if you win, say you're playing Joe McDonagh and you win the Joe McDonagh, and then that year, in some kind of way, that you can go up and try your hand at Leinster in the same kind of year. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Rather than just going up to Leinster, taking your beatings that year and coming back down.
Yeah.
Do you know, like,
if the Joe McDonagh was off a little bit earlier, and then the Leinster the Leinster and the Munster finish, and then you might have like a preliminary
Where you have a shot, you have
option
to get a
there
shot
because
it. Yeah.
You're after showing
your. You have a big year ahead of you, like, you can still go out and win like Joe McDonagh, rather than going up and and being realistic, you're going to take a few beatings, aren't you? Like,
yeah.
Then start. Even you look at Leash, like, Leash got to a quarter final all in there a couple of years ago, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
But then they are taking beatings as well, so like.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think we're all interested in how to. Yeah, I did feel the opposite now when Westmeath drew with us. All right, I felt I have no interest in their development at all. Yeah. As long as we beat them, like, but. Yeah. There is a feeling of wanting it, but maybe not being sure. Like, you throw money at the problem. Like, what are the young fellas like coming through into the Kildare? Like, well, between Selbridge and Kildare, what's their preparation like now? Has that changed a lot, or are they good enough? Like,
100%. Colt McCabe, actually, Colt McCabe is, you've seen him flying, like, and he's only 19, 20 years of age. Like, but that just shows how we're going as well. Cottle was on the football club team of the year last year, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he was asked to come in with the senior footballers, and he's throwing his hand in with the hurlers, like.
Yeah.
So it's just like, usually you'd be losing them lads to the football, like, you know? So it just shows there's a bit of there's the interest there, there's the want to. And it is, like, there is a real push now. We know we're good enough to go up, like, you know?
Yeah.
Even, I'm just, Joe McDonald levels, like, that's what we're pushing at for next year anyway. And we know in 2 or 3 years' time we could go up that extra level, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And the lad, everyone's buying into this. Like, Inherity is great. It's great to have him.
Yeah, he brings experience, but he also brings, he's a unique character as well, is, Dave. Yeah, like,
every detail, like, he's mad in every little detail. But it's great to have someone who's there for 3 or 4 years, like, you know, and really pushing. I think he's waiting for another, he's definitely there next year anyway. And I don't know about after that, but like, it's great.
This will be his fifth year, will it?
I think next year will be his fifth. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. And you can see he loves it. Like, you know, he's really bought into it. Like, and fucking, it's great to have it's great to have someone. Like, usually you might have someone for 2 or 3 years and he's using Kildare as a way of going out, getting, trying to go to different higher clubs or higher county ways or something like that. But with Dave, like, you can see he really wants it. Like,
yeah.
So, no, that's a massive difference for us, yeah.
What's Dave bringing to you that wasn't there before?
Well, it's professional, like, you know. It's he has it. You have lads getting down for training, and we're out 40 minutes before training or an hour before training and pucking around, and you wouldn't have really had that before. Lads be, well, not that we're just rocking up, but you know, he has lads pushing us to get
go on. it's like the drums going on the table there beside you, but yeah, go on.
He's pushing us to get down, you know, training an hour beforehand, and
these are just, he's just instilling the habits of winners, Kenny, like, yeah, of what he, winners, of what,
yeah,
he knows,
yeah, yeah.
And the lads are going with that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, there hasn't really been an argument. They don't usually have a few little skits and bits, but not like, there hasn't been really one in the last 2 years since I was there anyway, so like, just shows. Yeah. Everyone's buying into it, like, you know. He has us there doing, like, he has us to getting the, you know, the Dexy scans and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's brought that. Sometimes I think professionalism is almost like it's a limited version of what you're talking about. It's the habits of winners, isn't professionalism. Yeah. Like, the habits of winners are the likes of that. Like, it's showing up 40 minutes before and everybody buying into that.
Yeah, exactly,
as like,
yeah, yeah,
extending yourself in a very different direction. Mm. Like,
yeah, 100%.
What's that been like in seeing the kill, like, seeing yourselves getting to that level from where you were before? Like, how's that been?
Even the likes of, he does the, we did for first year, we did the Dexy scans, you know, the body fat percentages, like,
yeah.
And you know, and
how'd you get on with that?
I was fine. There was a few lads, like,
a few lads
on the back now. I won't say names, but
yeah.
But like that like just brought, lads thought they were doing well, you know, like, and it made lads just center in on it a lot more. They'd be like, geez, I have to get my act together here, like, and eating gets better. Everything goes up, like, from that train, or training more, or like, so that was another big thing that happened this year, like,
yeah.
But in terms of, you can see, even I think a big thing for us that for the levels of hurling, like, you see, it's just like the speed of what everything being done, but it's definitely like 10 years since I started, like, and when I was thinking about that the other day, I was like, just the standard of, like, just striking, hand passing. The speed at which we're doing things has massively gone up. Like, yeah.
Where's the biggest jump then to make, in terms of what you see in a? I mean, Wexford have the same goal. Like, we look at Clare and Limerick. Like, you're thinking, how? Like, so what's the major jump there? Like,
we were saying this year, Nigel, our coach, was just like, last couple of weeks, it was like sprinting, lads. We have to be sprinting, and I think you just when the levels, that's the biggest thing of the lads actually running as fast as they can for the ball. Like, I think you get into the habit of running at 60-70% the whole time, like, and it's like you see I'd be watching it, some of the Cork lads, like the speed of the Cork lads, but they're always taking the ball running at full pace nearly, like,
yeah.
And
the ability to execute things at full pace, grand to run at full pace, yeah. But it's to get the hands off, it's to get, like, the blocks, it's to get,
if you look at the games, yeah, you can see, like, the speed at which they get up to, like, it's even though if you were to race them in a 100-meter race, like, most lads would still stay with them, but it's just when the ball involved as well, like,
yeah,
you can just see the difference in that. That'd be the biggest thing for me. Like,
what about where are you in terms of, like, I don't know, development squad, centre of excellence, like that focus? Like, obviously in Kildare there has to be more of a focus on the football. I imagine that's a thing now. Maybe there's a shift in it.
Well, maybe there is a bit of a shift, yeah. But like, we have a hurling developer there, John Dorn, who played Clare hurling 15 years now, so he's the hurling developer of underage.
Yeah.
So, and then we have Paul Dively there, who playing midfield. He looks after the strength and conditioning of all the underage teams as well. Like, so,
yeah.
That wasn't there when I was coming up. So, like, you can see. And then they were saying, like, when I was playing under 14, you'd know which lads were going to play the teams on the Clare team. Like, and now they're having trials of 70-80 lads coming up for trials. Like, so,
yeah.
Which wasn't the case. So there's definitely been a massive jump in improvement, like, and interest in Ireland.
What's driving that? Has there been investment from the county board level? Like, is there Was there a plan? I think Pat Gilroy did a kind of a bit of a study with you into what was kind of working or what wasn't working. Didn't ask you any questions for it, obviously. Anyway, but there was an attempt to address what wasn't working. Yeah. But is there still the commitment, like, before you look out looking for money from, we'll say, Croke Park? I'm not saying that you are, but yeah, we'll say that's an answer we might arrive at. Does it come from within Kildare first? Is it very hard to get that kind of parity, that when there's a focus on the football, to kind of get that kind of, those kind of resources mobilised for the hurlers? Or do you be thinking about those things at all?
I don't really be thinking about these things, but like,
you just want to hurl.
Yeah, but it's definitely harder when you have like the football obviously does get main focus, like, and then, but sure, I don't know, what can you, like, there's a committee there, there's great hurling people in Kildare, like, a lot of people from outside don't really realise that, like, there is a hurling community in Kildare, like, and
where is it? Is it geographical in Kildare the same as it would, like, Wexford would be north football, south hurling predominantly, not always,
well, yeah, but it'd be north Kildare, and then you have Naas, like, yeah,
okay,
there wouldn't be much hurling now down in south Kildare. Okay, all the big ball.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're drawn from. Is it an imbalance with Naas? Like, Naas seems to be just an ever expanding, huge club. Is there an imbalance there in terms of the amount of players you're drawn from Naas, or is it just because it's such a good, out so many players? Yeah,
they've been coming the last couple of years underage, like winning fail after fail after fail in minors and all, and under 21. So, like, I think up until they won it 3 years ago, they hadn't won it in a good couple of years before that, I don't think so.
Mm.
Like, they just had a good underage structure in their place, like, and you just see it coming. I don't know how they get the interest they have in it.
Yeah.
But, like,
Will Selbridge, is that one of the benefits then? And Naas comes along, they show a way of doing it. Selbridge look and say, right, well, that's the structure we need to build?
Well, it comes in waves. Like, when we started with Kildare, we had 10 Selbridge lads on it, like, that year.
Yeah.
So, and we were after winning three counties on the bounce as well. Like, so, like, these things happen in waves, like, don't they?
They do, yeah. Like, yeah.
Look at when Kilkenny were going for the 5 in a row, you thought they were never going to lose. When Dublin were going for the 6 in a row, you thought they were never going to lose, and looking this year. Like, so.
Yeah.
So it just comes in waves, yeah, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know, like, I mean, yeah, so maybe we're thinking the same about Limerick at the moment, but I know they went in and they addressed, like, 14 to 17, they brought in a kind of a high-performance mentality. I mean, you're seeing the benefits of that with Dave Herty only in the last couple of years. You've got a high-performance mentality, as we were talking about. But to bring that in at a younger age, so that the lads, when they come in, they're not coming in out of shape, they're not coming in not ready, they're coming in ready for battle, like, you know, they're already kind of primed and hardened for it. So I suppose a direct attempt to drive that seems necessary for Kildare in the future.
But it's happening. It's there, like, you know, like, it's just a matter of us staying up in the John McDonough next year and driving along from there. Like, we just have to be staying up and playing them games, like, and this yo-yo effect just cripples it, like.
Yeah.
So all the structure is there. It's just down to us now in the end of the day for next year, like, to stay up, or we'll be hoping to go out and win it, but definitely to stay up next year and be playing them games year on year out, rather than going down and playing, beating teams by 30 points and being in this limbo spot where you're good enough, but you're not up there, like.
Yeah. Would you go back to the Hill of Allen for a night?
Are you coming again?
Aye, sure, we'll see.
Bring a bit of pudgy in.
Gerry, thanks very much for coming in. Yeah. It's great to chat to you again. We were both in a somewhat altered state, I think, the last conversation that we had.
Running around the forest with no shoes on.
Barefoot in the forest, yeah, it was lovely, mate. It was a great experience. That's all we have time for on the Hurling Show. Thanks very much for joining us. We look forward to 2 huge games next weekend, both the Leinster and Munster finals. We'll be back next Monday to have a look at those. Thanks very much.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Donald Donovan is the left cornerback. He hits it. Wow. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses. What a match.
There's been a missing person in Clare for 81 long years. Well, today, that person has been found alive and well. And that person's name is Liam McCarthy.
Do you know as much about serious level sport as I know about the sleeping habits of the Ayatollah.
There's a streaker on the ground now. He must be a Kilkenny man because he's quite happy with the situation right now.